Ooh, sorry.
No, it's all right.
This gets you in the mood, doesn't it?
It really does.
It's a little palate cleanser, an audio palate cleanser.
An intermezzo, if you will.
I will.
I will.
Thank you very much.
Want to hear Bing Crosby sing the song?
Nope. I really wouldn't. Ima Sumac has just this beautiful resonance that I don't think... All right, I want to hear it.
Boo-ba-boo-ba-boo-ba-bum. Ba-boo-ba-boo-ba-bum.
All right, it was totally worth it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right. If I may, a very quick congratulations...
To yourself?
To Mary Vandeveld.
Oh, yes,
who
Grandma.
Is a grandmother now. And I just went in, you know, she has a little booth here that we put her in. And she sells people theater tickets in it. I don't know why they do that, but they put her in there. And it's the first time I've seen her since she was a grandmother. And she's in there and she's knitting and eating hard candies and watching Matlock.
She did that before the baby was born,
she?
I got to be honest
with
you.
I never saw her do that before. But very grandmotherly. She also told me to get off her lawn. So I will no longer be able to walk on her lawn.
More congratulations are in order. If you didn't listen to our part of the radio show on 720 WGN, you had a tennis tournament last night, and you fared fairly well.
I
Fair
played
maiden.
At the thank you very much at the UIC Pavilion last night. Myself and Kelly Krull, who is with CSN, narrowly beat Mark Carmen, the evil Mark Carmen, and Brooke
Weisbrod. It's Weiss Broad.
Right.
That's what it is.
That's who it was.
Like Weiss Beer and Broad rhymes with Road.
Right.
I'll never forget her name again until tomorrow.
So we beat them very, very close match, 8-7. But thanks to everybody who came out and said hello and wished me well and was very encouraging. And like I said downstairs, the most exciting thing was to look over and see my daughters, Reese and Kylie, cheering me on, even though Reese didn't know I won until hours after the match. She was confused about the scoring of the match.
Reese is all about the having fun part of it,
right,
which we should be more into, all
Wouldn't
of us.
Wouldn't that be nice?
And that was the highlight of your night, although there was another pretty awesome highlight when you spoke to Andy Roddick.
Wendy, I have enjoyed the tennis prowess of Andy Roddick since he first came up, since he was 6 years old. I just said to myself, boy, this Andy Roddick, he can hit. And I met him briefly. We had him on the show a few weeks ago, but that was over the phone. I never met him in person. And then after the match, I was in kind of the tunnels underneath. I was, showering off and getting ready and stuff. And there was Andy Roddick, and I introduced myself. And he said, oh, were you the guy that was just, you were just playing? And I said, I was. And he said, yeah, we were in the lounge, and we were watching it on television.
Laughing goes, at you.
He didn't say that. He may have been, but he didn't say that. But he goes, you really got some good stuff going. And we talked for another few moments, but I didn't hear a word he said after that. I just kept, like in a movie, there's a dream sequence.
Yes.
So I had a dream sequence with Andy Roddick where he goes, I'm looking for a guy. I may go back to the pros, and I'm looking for a guy to be a doubles partner. I think you and I should team up, you know, in the dream sequence.
That's a nice dream.
Really happened. And then we went to Wimbledon, and we won a couple of trophies. It got crazy after that.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
And has anybody talked to Mark Carmen today? Is he doing
No one can
okay?
find him. We have attempted, he lives in a treehouse in Des Plaines, and we've attempted to track him down, but his phone is disconnected. So I'm sure he's fine.
Well, good effort put
Thank
out
you.
By him, huh?
Yeah. No, he played great. He's very, very good. Very, very good. If we may, there's a story that is a little bit confusing, and it's confusing because I saw it happen and didn't think much of it.
I did too.
Well, so you know what I'm talking about. On Saturday Night Live last week, they did a scene in which the daughter of Mike Huckabee, that would be Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and in reality, I think everybody knows this by now, she filled in for Sean Spicer as the White House press secretary for a couple of days. Sean Spicer was unable to be the White House press secretary.
He was checking out the bushes.
He was hiding in the bushes for several days. And she filled in. So as they have done since day one of Saturday Night Live, they take what happens in reality and they do a version of it, a parody of it on the show. So they did a press conference, and you knew this was coming because Melissa McCarthy plays Sean Spicer, so you knew at some point during the show she was going to be Sean Spicer. So in the scene, A.D. Bryant comes out as Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and that's how the scene starts. Well, her father, Mike Huckabee, former presidential nominee, says that what went on Saturday Night Live, both with that scene and with a joke that was made about her during Weekend Update, were sexist. Now, you saw it.
It was a woman playing her, so...
Katie Bryant.
Yeah. You know, it's not like they dressed up a guy.
See, I think if you were going to say anything was sexist, you could say Melissa McCarthy's portrayal of Sean Spicer was reverse sexist.
Is there such a thing?
I don't think there's such a thing as reverse sexist. But I think you could make the argument that a person of one gender playing for parody purposes, a person of the other gender, I think you could go, that's kind of sexist, I guess. But I'm not sure why this would be considered sexist. But Mike Huckabee stands by it.
See, I recall seeing it, and I don't understand at all. They did have A.D. Bryant wearing almost the exact... I mean, they did a great job coming up with the exact same outfit that...
Oh, it's identical.
I know. They really did a great job with that.
So she had been criticized prior to Saturday Night Live for her choice in clothing. That was not befitting of a White House press secretary, that her outfit was more befitting of, I've got people coming over for brunch.
But that, you know what? Everybody can decide their own thing.
Without a doubt. So they did.
I don't like it, but she does, so she wore it.
Right.
Good for her.
So they made fun of her in the scene a little bit, and then they made fun of her outfit in Weekend Update just a little bit. And I don't have the exact wording on the joke. I'll find the exact wording on how that... Kevin, look that up for me, because I thought this was in the original story, but it's not here on Yahoo. But it's
still not sexist, in my opinion.
All right. Here's the question, because I don't think it is either. So if you're mirroring something that happened in real life, which they were, she really did fill in for Sean Spicer, and it's temporary, although people have said if Sean Spicer is shown the door, she'd be a good choice to be the White House press secretary. So what part of that was sexist? If it was a guy and he and people were talking about the way he was dressed to be the White House press secretary... Just pick a guy at random.
But they wouldn't, because a guy wears a suit, and really no one's going to comment on that.
Oh, that's a good point.
Women get criticized for everything they wear on TV. Many news broadcasters on television have complained about that. People keep track of how many times Alison Rosati wears one dress.
Right.
I mean, women get criticized for their clothing way more because men just wear a suit.
Wasn't there a broadcaster a year or so ago who decided he was going to wear the same suit every day for a year and nobody called him out on it?
No one noticed.
Nobody noticed. So let's say you're a woman who tries that. People would notice the first second of the second day. She wore that yesterday. She can't wear that 2 days in a row. But a guy, your options are, am I going to go with the blue suit or the gray suit?
It's not sexist. It's fashionist, if anything.
It's fashionist.
Because really, I don't see how that's sexist at all. And Mike Huckabee, who was coming to Chicago, tweeted something. I don't know who else likes to tweet crazy things on Twitter. But Governor Mike Huckabee, on the 16th, 2 days ago, tweeted, on way to Chicago for speech, expecting to have to run from plane, dodging bullets like Hillary did in Bosnia when under sniper fire. Yikes.
All right.
So what a jerk. Still,
yeah. Yeah.
That's so I don't care. He's not sexist. He's a dumbest. He's a meanest.
He is a meanest. That's what Mike Huckabee is. Now, Chris Cuomo, who I respect immensely.
Who's he again?
He's the son of Mario Cuomo and very politically minded broadcaster. And I really like him a lot. He said that they went out of their way. A.D. Bryant, you know,
how do I say this? Heavy?
Yeah. So his take on this was that they were painting her in a bad light, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, because they had A.D. Bryant portraying her. And I guess when they cut back to her, so she's the White House press secretary at the beginning, and then Sean Spicer's hiding in the bushes. This is in the scene of Saturday Night Live. And then the next time they show Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she's eating an apple. So he said that was really uncalled for.
Why? An apple is a healthy snack.
Why? Yeah, I know.
I mean, seriously, I know people talk about the weight of people all the time.
Yeah.
But maybe A.D. Bryant just did a better version of it, so they let her do it. Who? I mean,
I thought that that was. I don't know who else in the cast would have done a better job.
No one.
She was fine. I mean, it wasn't a major role. She just got the scene started, and that's all you needed. Now let's go back a couple days because this is something that fits in beautifully, but we didn't discuss it. I think because a weekend happened, and you know, by the time we got back on Monday, it was old news. Anderson Cooper has on
Kellyanne Conway.
Kellyanne Conway,
who was released from the room.
Dungeon.
Yeah,
she was in a dungeon for a while, a bunker underground.
What, for like 3 weeks? We didn't hear from her, right?
Yeah, about that. Maybe
a little longer.
Yeah, it was a little longer. So he's got Kellyanne Conway on, you know, talking about everything. And at some point, he asks her a question. And then, as happens in politics, Kellyanne Conway answers a question that was not asked because she didn't want to answer that question. So she talks about something completely different. And in the middle of this, Anderson Cooper, and you can see it as plain as day, rolls his eyes as if to say, here we go again. I'm asking you a question about one thing, but you're answering a question that I did not ask. So I watched it live. I saw him roll his eyes and I laughed and I went, this is Anderson Cooper's way of saying, oh, here we go. All right. You're going to answer a question that I did not ask you.
And it's frustrating to
him. Right. The next day, several news sources said, could you be more sexist than to roll your eyes at a woman because you're not happy with the answer she gave you?
That's a rollist. That's not a sexist.
Right.
This isn't sexism.
I don't see a drip of it. I don't see any kind of sexism in that at all. I see a guy who has been in this chair before where you ask a politician or somebody representing a politician a question and they give you the answer that isn't the right answer.
I'll tell you, I'm glad we're on the radio because there are some eye rolls going on in this studio sometimes.
Sometimes they're so obvious you can hear them on the radio.
But so that has to be said, Anderson Cooper knows that he's being televised.
Sure.
In a weird way, you almost want to say, come on, Andy, you got to keep that in check.
I know it's kind of, considering you're doing a new show, it's kind of unprofessional to roll your eyes at a guest. But if you've been subjected to that as many times as he has, you go, oh, just answer the question I asked you, please, you know? And I would have respected, that wouldn't have been sexist, right? If he would have called her out and said, you're answering a question that I did not ask. Let's go back to my original question. That's not sexist at all. Why is it sexist to roll your eyes and go, come on, just answer the question?
And if you want to know the truth, and I can only speak from my experiences, I think women roll their eyes more than men do.
I hadn't really thought about it, but maybe.
Oh, my God. I roll my eyes all the time.
Never here on the show.
Not when you're talking.
Not around here, but at home maybe. Right?
I do roll my eyes all. I think women do it more than men. So how is that sexist? If I roll my eyes at you, we both roll our eyes at things Kevin suggests all the time.
Constantly.
Is that sexist?
Constantly.
Or is that producerist? Kevin, you do roll your eyes a lot.
Only when you deserve it.
Yeah, right.
Every day.
Kevin rolls his nose at us. I don't even think that was possible. I don't know how he got to be able to do that. All right, so if I said something and you or anybody else rolled their eyes, my first line of defense would not be, oh, well, that typical woman, I'm a guy saying something, so there goes the eye roll. It wouldn't even occur to me. I would just go, well, I understand the purpose of that. It wouldn't be based on my sex or hers or anybody's.
It's not sexist, but it's probably not a great thing to do when you're being televised.
Right, well...
It probably isn't. You just halfway rolled your eyes.
No, I just have a wandering eye.
Oh.
I'm just doing that because I love Sandy Duncan. When he did it, I just said to myself, this is a man who has been down this trail before. And if it was a guy sitting there, if he had asked, let's say Sean Spicer was in that chair instead of Kellyanne Conway. So he asks the same question and gets the same non-answer and rolls his eyes. Then you can't say sexism. And you just go, broadcaster fed up with wrong answer.
That's all it is.
That's all it is. Right.
Broadcaster fed up with lack of answer.
Right.
Not wrong answer. Lack of answer. Yeah.
Yeah, that works. That's not dipped in sexism.
There's no sexism.
It's dipped in chewy chocolate.
which is way better than sexism.
So much better. We will take a break, and then there will be more show. You know who's coming by is Judy Pilak, Wendy. Judy has to go.
Sorry. It's my work ethic.
I know. You have quite a work ethic. One that will not be copied by neither Wendy nor myself.
Amen to that.
You work too hard.
And just for reference, my children, if they're listening, are saying, what's work ethic?
Yep. Right. It's being looked up in dictionaries all over Chicago
right
now.
Wait, do you get anything for Mother's Day?
A headache.
My boys built me a fire pit.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's a great one.
Yeah, and I got a Google Book thing.
A Google Book thing? That's excellent.
A laptop.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Those are good gifts.
So there.
Yeah.
My kids love
them.
Wow,
me. They do.
What do we know? A couple of quick things.
Thanks, Jude.
We forgot to mention when talking about Saturday Night Live that one of its longest reigning cast members has decided to leave the show. Bobby Moynihan is making this Saturday's show. He's been on the show for 9 years. This upcoming Saturday, the season finale, will be his last show with SNL.
But I will miss him.
Yeah.
I will miss Drunk Uncle. I will miss a lot of the things he's done.
Yeah.
He really is not used a ton, but when he is, he does a great
right.
job. But it's for good reasons he's leaving. He's going to be on a new sitcom.
Right.
So that's pretty awesome.
That's a great, yeah, that's a very good reason.
I get sad when people leave and they got nothing going on. Where's Taron Killam?
Well, he's been doing Hamilton on Broadway.
Oh, is real? Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
So
that's
he's doing okay.
All right, he's busy.
And you know what? There was a second in Saturday Night Live last week when Melissa McCarthy was going through the hallways, and I could have swore Taron Killam was in the hallway.
I got to go back and check.
I'm trying to remember exactly what was going on there, but I went, wait, that's weird. Is that him? And it looked just like him. So I'll find it on my DVR and let you know what it is. And I could be wrong, but it looked just like him. Bobby Moynihan will be joining a CBS television show called Me, Myself, and I. So that's why he's leaving after 9 years.
Hasn't there already been a sitcom called that? I know there's Me, Myself, and Irene was a movie.
Right.
But
right.
It just seems like this is...
Yeah, that's a title that should have been taken at some point.
Yeah.
You know what my favorite thing that he did was, and it's really stupid, because he did have a bunch of running characters, like you mentioned, Drunk Uncle, and then he also did that guy during Weekend Update who was real shifty and looked left and right every time he said anything. I can't remember that guy's name. Anthony Crispino.
Did you just pull that out of somewhere?
No, I found it.
Oh.
No,
that just amazed me. You should have taken credit for that.
Anthony Crispino, he did impressions of Chris Christie. He did impressions of Guy Fieri. He did an impression of Snooki a couple times. All very funny. But the one that made me laugh the hardest, and it's so stupid, is when Bill Hader was on the show, he did an Italian talk show host named Vinny Vidivice.
Yeah.
And he played his young son, his young Italian immigrant son that would come out and sit on his lap and smoke. And I don't know. I don't know why I found that so funny, but every time he did it, it put me away.
I was watching SNL last week as we I think, honestly, we are the only two people who can. That's probably not true, but we've watched pretty much almost every show.
I don't think I've missed 10 episodes in the 40 some odd years it's been on.
There was a season where I would miss probably more than now. And as soon as the VHS or VCR and now the DVR, I watch it every week.
Yeah.
And have.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah.
And I was looking forward to Melissa McCarthy being on because mm-hmm. I adore her. Mm-hmm. I love her spicy. I was a little disappointed with that. I have to be 100% honest with you.
With that particular scene or the whole show?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, the whole show was a little on the slow side. And it was the week before. And I feel bad because now all of a sudden they've started doing this live thing where it's live all over the country.
Right.
Their first one was fantastic. The mm-hmm. last two have been a little on the weak side.
Mm. Yeah.
And I know it happens, but
it's always uneven. And
I know.
Sometimes they'll have a great show and you go, well, look at how great they're doing. And then the next week it's horrible, or sometimes the opposite. So.
And I also have a question. The three girls that were on, I almost said chicks, but then that would be sexist.
That would be sexist, and I would leave.
And Mike Huckleberry Hound.
Huckleberry Hound is what he prefers to be referred to as, Wendy. Show some respect.
The three girls called Haim. I thought, and hang on, I thought Melissa McCarthy was saying their name wrong because I thought it was based on Corey Haim.
No.
I thought it was Haim.
Haim is their, it's three sisters, and that's their last name.
But it's pronounced Haim.
Well, Corey Haim's family chose to pronounce it Haim, but you can pronounce it either way. They choose Haim. But you're right. When they first kind of materialized, you go, finally, a band that's not afraid to take the name of Corey Haim and pay some tribute, but it's their it's the sister's last name.
Is there a Feldman?
I don't think there's a
just
Feldman.
Him.
I don't think there is a Feldman.
Just
that'd
his...
be a great band. I would if my band ever comes to fruition, Feldman.
For Corey or Marty?
For both of them. To pay tribute to both of them.
Please get a band together.
All right. I'm working on it.
All right.
Right now, the only stumbling block is that none of us play musical instruments or have any musical prowess. But other than that, we'll be fine. Now, speaking of smoking children, do you remember a couple of years ago, there were pictures all over the internet, and I fell in love with this kid.
I know you did.
I absolutely fell in love with this kid.
It was heartbreaking for me.
I have two children of my own that I couldn't possibly love more. But if there was ever an opportunity for me to adopt a third child, my vote would go to Aldi Rizal. He's the two-year-old who you may remember back in 2010 was an internet sensation.
It was that long ago?
2010. He was famous because they found him, and he was smoking cigarettes.
And inhaling.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like he was just puffing on them.
He loved his cigarettes.
He did, and it was really sad to me.
Yeah. Sad and yet...
No yet. And yet on your side.
Strangely alluring, wasn't it?
No.
I am so anti-smoking.
I know you are.
I am so against smoking.
But it's fine for a two-year-old.
This kid owned it. This kid, of all the people I've ever seen smoke a cigarette, no one seemed to enjoy it or be more comfortable with it. And it's as wrong as wrong can be. Whoever started young Aldi on this smoking habit should be banished.
Who did start him?
Joe Camel. They say that the reason behind Joe Camel was to get kids, some as young as the age of two, to say, yeah, wow, cartoon characters, yay, smoking.
Wasn't he in a diaper and no shirt and just smoking?
Yeah. And he had let himself go, let's be honest.
He was a little heavy.
He was a little pudgy. He was always smoking. He didn't want to do the things that two-year-olds do. He just wanted to smoke all day.
Well, then he should have been thinner.
You would think. But no.
It was shocking. That's why I watched it. But it was heartbreaking
right,
to me.
Right. That a kid as young as two could be that addicted. But you know what kind of worked for him was just the way he was so cool about it.
That's why people start smoking, because they think
it's cool. But when you're two, you don't have that usually peer pressure from other two-year-olds, right, to look cool when you're two. That usually sets in a little bit later. Aldi Rizal was ahead of the curve, Wendy. In 2000, well, now they have the point that I'm making in this is they have now found him, so there's an update on him.
Is he still smoking?
That's the question, right? In 2010, a story came out of an Indonesia child caught around the world, shown around the world. He was 2 years old. His name is Aldi Rizal. His video went viral. He was enjoying a ride-on toy. I forgot about this part. I think all the access I had to him were still photographs of him smoking.
Oh, I saw video.
You saw video? So he was enjoying...
You saw video, too.
Oh, I'm trying to remember. Was the ride-on toy like a tank? Like, did he have a little army tank? Is that what it was?
Why aren't you going to say it was a Camel?
That would make more sense if it was a Camel. If I was Camel Cigarettes, I would have jumped on that. This is our best customer. Let's get this kid a toy Camel to ride while he's enjoying our product.
You have a twisted side.
He was enjoying a ride-on toy while smoking cigarettes. I'm almost positive. I've not spent any of my $20 today that Terry gave me. I'll put that on the line. I think he had a tank.
I will look that up while you keep talking.
All right. He was riding his toy and smoking cigarettes, and it found its way onto the internet and then numerous news stations, causing an outrage and an international scandal. What is Rizal up to 7 years later? So now he's 9 years old. This is what happened to the chain-smoking two-year-old. Sounds like a book you'd read. Kids, make them go to sleep.
No, to not smoke.
The story of the chain-smoking two-year-old. Seeing a toddler smoking a single cigarette is shocking enough. Through the outside world, though, the outside world let out a collective gasp of disbelief when it emerged just how many smokes young Aldi Rizal was actually going through on a daily basis. It transpired that a tubby toddler was consuming a staggering 40 cigarettes.
Here he is playing a turquoise guitar. I never saw that video.
Oh, this is new.
Is this him now?
Yeah. Look at him now. He plays the turquoise guitar for a couple of strums, and then he says, whew, I got to have a smoke. Like, just a couple of quick strums. He's like, I can't play this without smoking.
You got to see him because he takes a drag of the cigarette, and he just releases the smoke after inhaling and, like, shakes his head and is just loving it.
Loves every puff. I love to see that kind of passion. I just wish he had channeled it into something other than, like, if he played backgammon. I think that'd be better for him, don't you? He probably, let's be fair, if his passion was backgammon, if he had the same passion for backgammon that he does for cigarettes, I don't think it would have been the viral sensation. Do you?
No.
I don't think so.
He's got a little baby bottle now. Is there a bourbon in there or a beer or something?
I hope not. I hope he's come clean. He was smoking at the time when he was 2 years old. His habit was a staggering 40 cigarettes a day. And this cost
That's two
his...
packs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yep. This cost his parents roughly $5 a day in a part of the world where the average working class wage is only $90 per month.
Wow, cheaper than Indiana for cigarettes.
Yeah, Aldi should have moved to Muncie.
No, it's cheaper in Indonesia than
in Indiana.
And the toy he was riding on was one of those little scooters with the steering wheel, like a red plastic scoot type thing.
He didn't have a tank? For some reason, I keep picturing him on a little toy tank. I don't know why. So if he was spending, or his parents were spending, when you're two, you don't have any spending money. Don't I know that from experience?
Need to get a wife. That's why you wanted to get married.
Now I got $20 a day. My life has improved dramatically from when I was two. Kids listening, get married. Don't waste time. So if he was spending, or his parents were spending $5 a day, and the average working class wage is $90 a month, $5 a day times 30, that's $150 per month. They were $60 in the hole just because of Aldi smoking. That's not good.
It was not a tank.
Boy, that's not. Wendy's showing me the
little red ride-on.
The little red car.
It's like a scooter, kind of.
Could you Google Aldi Rizal and tank and see if anything comes up? Because in my head, I've got... You won't do that? In my head, I keep picturing him on a tank. There's no pictures of him riding a tank.
No.
With, like, a little soldier also on the tank? Or is that a dream I had? I probably had that dream.
With Andy Roddick in it?
Yeah, he was in my dream, too.
He was on a tank.
Yeah, Andy Roddick was on a tank in my dream. The initial assumption was that this child was being supplied cigarettes by some older kids, though it soon came out that his parents were totally complicit in his dangerous habit, claiming that he had held them to ransom over his beloved smokes. He is totally addicted, his mother Diana revealed. If he doesn't get his cigarettes, he gets angry and screams and batters his head against the wall. He tells me that he feels dizzy and sick.
Well, yeah, because he's used to the nicotine.
He's going through withdrawal.
Yes, he is. There's no picture of him on a tank.
Really?
Yes, there is.
Is there? That's the picture that's in my head. That's it, with a little soldier in front. And he's saluting.
I will send it to you, Kevin. But he doesn't have a cigarette in that one, just a baby bottle.
Oh. Maybe he had to... Now, this is just a guess, but maybe the down payment for the tank was a couple of boxes of Carlton's. Maybe he had to give his cigarettes up to buy the tank. I could be wrong. I don't know what tanks go for in Indonesia. I have no idea. I have no point of reference whatsoever. Zero. His father, Mohammed Rizal, on the other hand, apparently didn't see anything wrong with what was going on. Classic mother-father argument over whether or not their two-year-old should smoke.
Let him be a man, honey. Right. That's what the dad says. It's about time he grows up.
who amongst us didn't have the same argument in their family when mom and dad looked upon their two-year-old and one of them said he should smoke and the other said he should not smoke? I think this is common, not just in the U.S., but also in Indonesia and everywhere in the world, really. The father went on to say, I don't see the problem. He's got blinders on, Wendy, in my opinion.
Is the father a smoker? Because maybe that's the difference.
It doesn't say, but I bet he is. I'm just guessing he is. But he doesn't have a tank. Like, I would think that'd be a great outing for the father and son. Son, dad, get out your family, get out the tank. We're going for a father and son smoke, just the two of us. Embarrassed by the international spectacle that this story had become, the Indonesian government decided to stick the chain-smoking tot in a rehab center.
Okay, that's so sad.
Can
again.
Can they do that?
With parents' permission.
It sounds like they just swooped in and took them. I don't think they can do that. That's it. Kevin, call the Indonesian Tourism Bureau and tell them that we're canceling all their endorsements. I'm not going
to
read
their
spots anymore.
If a mom and dad is letting a two-year-old smoke, the kid should be taken away.
So the government should be able
like
to come in.
Like a DCFS kind of thing.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. And the
The AT, what is the...
The D, well, I know the C stands for chain and the S stands for smoking. I don't know what the D and the F stand for.
No, the ATF.
Oh, the ATF.
That's not it. What's the
tobacco
WTF. And firearms? Yeah,
yeah, they should all come in. The NBA should step in.
They don't smoke.
No, you should smoke in the NBA. According to Daily Mail, Rizal was taken from his remote village in Sumatra and sent to a family in the country's capital of Jakarta, where he took part in 2 weeks of play therapy sessions that forced him to focus on being a normal child rather than his constant cravings.
You know what they gave him?
What'd they give him?
Candy cigarettes to break the habit. This is what you should be doing, kid.
Right.
And think about that. When we had candy cigarettes, that was
the
dumbest thing. A, they weren't really good. And two, it was just make you look like you would smoke. So then when you're old enough to have a real cigarette, you could have them.
Can I tell you something tragic? They still have candy cigarettes.
I know. I've seen them next door.
There's a gas station that I go to that always has a big display of candy cigarettes when you're paying. And you just want to go, you know this can't be. Are you selling enough to sell your soul for this? This is awful.
Well, kids now know the difference. We didn't.
Back then it wasn't as well known.
There are way less smokers now than when we were growing up.
Right.
Not a lot of smokers in my family.
I don't know if there's way less, because now there's been, like in the last couple of years, there's been a little bit of a backlash where people are smoking a bit again. It had ebbed quite a bit, but now it's back. Not as much, but still back.
And no one smokes in the car with their kids did.
No, that's
my
tough.
Mom never smoked. I mean, she might have when she was a snotty teenager, but not regularly. My aunt smoked, and I would never want to ride in the car with her because it was hideous.
Couldn't get rid of that smell.
No, and I hear all these people who said that on their family road trips, their dad would just sit there and smoke in the station wagon
mine
the hallway.
Did. My dad did on family vacations.
So you're in the car for like 8 hours and
with
just
smoke. Yeah, it was awful. It was terrible.
And you didn't get car sick? That
yeah,
would have just made
we
me
did,
so
but
sick.
We did, and we'd beg him both for his own health and ours.
More for yours.
Well, slightly more for ours. And he'd say, you think I smoke a lot? I'll pick up Aldi Rizal and put him between the two of you, and he'll smoke the whole way to the Dells. Yeah? Do it. Let's see you do it.
I dare you.
Very confrontational. All right, we must take a break.
Oh, my God, it's about that time.
I know. Look at what happens when you start talking about two-year-old smoking kids. We'll take a quick break, and we'll close things off. So stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, it's that time on this very part of the show tomorrow on the stream. You know B.B. King, right?
Sure, of course. He's saying the thrill is gone.
Do you know what B.B. stands for?
Ladies Love.
B.B.?
Oh, that's LL Cool J.
It stands for Blues Boy.
Blues Boy.
B.B. King's daughter, Shirley King, will be on with us. There's a new book coming out, and she's a really nice person and a fun person to talk to. So that's tomorrow at 12:05.
Yeah, and then earlier in the show than that, World Series champion David Ross will be joining us.
How did we get him? Good work, Kevin.
Blackmail. Kevin blackmailed him.
I'm just awesome. That's how you got him.
That's how. It's a pretty good show.
Why don't you give Kevin a participation trophy for today's show?
Kevin, you get a participation trophy.
I would love that.
All right, you get. There will be a ceremony. Tell Judy Pilak to not bother coming in next Thursday. We've changed the ceremony. It's going to be you getting participation trophy. That's it, everybody. That's the Thursday show tomorrow, Friday, the best day ever invented. So tune in then. We're looking forward to it. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.